Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online, and we want to hear from you. The phone lines are open at 844-322-2742. That's 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. But again, welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. Here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's talk about the grace of God today. The grace of God is everything as far as the Christian is concerned. We're saved by grace. We live by grace. Grace gets us into this new realm of existence, into this new life. Grace is what fuels us through this new life. We have grace at the beginning. We're going to have grace at the end. That's just the way it is. That's just how God has set it up. There is no other way for a Christian to exist. Here's how I wrote about it in my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Grace is where we stand, live, and breathe. It is the realm of our existence. So if you're a believer in Christ, grace is where you stand, live, and breathe. It is the realm of your existence. It is Christ in us, and us in him. And Richard, you talked about this yesterday. Yes. Grace isn't a thing, is it?
No. And it's so critical to realize that. It is a person, Jesus himself, by the Holy Spirit, inside of me, and like you just said, me inside of him.
Right.
Go figure, but that's the power.
So when the Bible says we've been saved by grace, it's really saying we've been saved by Jesus.
Yes.
Through faith.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it all works. So far too often, Christians think of grace as merely a covering for their past sins. And
yeah.
How many people do we meet day in and day out, whether it's through the radio broadcast and email and conferences that we go to, who buy into this definition of grace? It's a covering for the past. Well, that's a limited view, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It just leaves you hanging with nothing because there's no power in that definition.
Right, because it's a past tense verse.
Yes.
It's something that's happened way back then that has really no relevance to my here and now. Mm-hmm. And that is so far from the truth. As a matter of fact, grace is very active in our present and moves us into our future. I've simply defined grace like this, is it's God's work in Jesus Christ to make us spiritually alive and to empower us to live in this world as his children. So if we want to live as children of God, if we want to be those children of light that God has created us to be,
yes,
then there's only one source to make that happen, and that's the very grace of God. So grace is not only the means of salvation, it really is the way of the Christian life. It's not only the door that grants us into God's house, it's also the way we live once we are in the house. So once grace starts in a person's life, here's the good news, it never quits.
Mm-hmm.
And as I wrote, the simple gospel is simply grace. And here's a couple of passages that really underscore the importance of this truth, this reality, and underscoring the importance of us embracing the way of grace is the way of life for the believer. If you embrace anything else as your way of life, you're going to go off in a totally different direction.
Yeah.
As you would say, Richard, you're going to be out in the weeds pretty quickly.
Weeds, yeah. I resemble that. Sometimes.
Yes, yes, yes. So here's Acts 20:32. Paul's with the leaders of the Ephesus church, and he says this: "Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." So if we need to be built up, what do we need to be committed to? The grace of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what Paul said. If you want to be built up as leaders, if you want to know how to lead those people that God has brought your way, grace is necessary. It's so necessary. There's no other way. Romans 6:14, sin shall no longer be your master because you are not under law, but under grace. We touched on this yesterday, but if you want to really live this newness of life and to embrace the abundance of life that is yours in Christ Jesus, you can't do it through obedience to the law. You can't do it through human effort. You may be reaching out for it, but it's going to elude you every single time. Grace allows you to fully take hold of the life that is yours. Why? Because grace is the very life that is yours in Christ Jesus. By grace, by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. So here's Paul at the very end of his letter to the Corinthians. He's talking about, he's soon to be talking about the resurrection, but he's talking about his apostleship and how he went out there to tell people about the love and grace of Jesus Christ and connect people to this new life that is available to them. And he attributes his success in ministry to one thing and one thing only, the grace of God. The grace of God is what defined him as a human being, that grabbed him, rescued him from sin and death and gave him new life, rescued him from a life of persecuting the church and blaspheming the name of his one true God. It rescued him from that and brought him over into the kingdom of Christ, gave him a name of saint, a child by God, and empowered him to be a proclaimer, the greatest proclaimer the world has ever known of Jesus Christ. That's what the grace of God did for the Apostle Paul. And was he passive in his efforts to reach the world for Jesus? Absolutely not. He said, no, I worked harder than all of them. There was not one single apostle, not one single disciple, not one single super apostle that was out traipsing around that known world back in those days who could say, I've outworked Paul. Paul outworked every single one of them, and he said, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. It was the grace of God that was the very fuel, the power, the life source for Paul to reach out and connect people with the love of Jesus Christ. Thank God for that grace, because you were saved by that grace. Thank God for His grace, because it's the very thing that's going to fuel you in your mission as a child of God.
Well, it's Basic Gospel, everybody, and we want to hear from you. 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. We want to make sure that you know that what you, our listeners and donors, do through Basic Gospel, that's what keeps the message going, reaching out to people everywhere with the good news of Jesus Christ. And for those of you who do that, who participate in that, we are deeply grateful. Remember now that through midnight tonight, a complimentary copy of Bob Christopher's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, is available to everyone who helps keep the message going with a donation to Basic Gospel. All you need to do is click donate at basicgospel.net to make your donation and request your copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Be sure to do that by midnight tonight, of course. Again, donate at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. That's a good friend of mine, David Bish, who passed away last year, kind of shockingly to everyone. He was running a race and kind of fell over right in the middle of it and passed away. Way too young, but he had read Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and he said this: Bob Christopher rightly observes that grace is not a thing but a person. That's why the message of grace never gets old, even though it is often gotten lost. Find it again in this great read. So the grace of God never gets old, and that's why we never stop talking about it. Why? Because it never gets old to us. It's the most exciting message that's ever hit human ears in this world.
Without question.
It's the most exciting message that's ever transformed human beings into the image of Christ Jesus. And so we will never get tired of proclaiming this good news. And once this news of God's grace embraces your hearts, you'll never get tired of it either.
Yeah. Again, just click donate at basicgospel.net and request your copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. We want to get one into your hands, friends. But remember, tonight at midnight is the deadline.
It is.
Yeah.
Something flashed in my mind as you were talking. One of the great theological statements in the Bible is Jesus saying, I am, it's a God statement, the way, the truth, and the life. That's the equivalent of him saying, I am grace.
Yes.
I am grace. Everything is him.
Everything. Not one thing is outside of Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you, Richard. Let's go to our friend Brad in O'Fallon, Missouri. Hi, Brad.
I don't know what it is with you guys, but Richard stole my fire. You stole my fire with the words from Dave Biss. But as I was welcome to everybody that's listening maybe for the first time, I just encourage you to hang on and listen. I was thinking the very same things you just talked about, and that is when it said, when Paul said, the word of his grace, okay? Well, number one, who's the word? The word was Jesus. Who's grace? It's Jesus. So by Jesus, through God, by Jesus we are saved through the object of our faith, which is Jesus. Everything points to Jesus, and it's kind of scary, Richard. I'm really sure it couldn't have been you, but you just had to be reading my mind. So anyway, I'll steal your thunder. But anyway, love you guys. Thanks for letting me be a confirming voice today. Thank you very much.
Hey, thanks, Brad. Thanks for your call, as always.
Richard, you need to repent.
Okay.
844-322-2742. We want to hear from you. What's on your mind? What's on your heart? If you have a story about the grace of God that's come into your life and become a reality, give us a call. We want to share that with you. 844-322-2742. But shifting gears pretty significantly right now, we had a call that came in overnight from Andrew. Let's listen to that right now.
Yes, good afternoon. My name is Andrew, and I was just trying to call. Why do so many people teach tithing? I certainly would appreciate it. Thank you again. Have a blessed day.
Why do so many people teach tithing? And it's really not off topic at all.
No, it's not.
Because this idea of giving really, if we're going to understand it for what it's supposed to be, what God designed it to be, we have to connect it to the grace of God. And that's exactly what Paul did for us in his letter to the Corinthians, his second letter to the Corinthians, chapters 8 and 9. He talks about the grace of giving. Now, tithing, the word tithe simply means 10%. And so there was a requirement that God placed upon the people of Israel to bring in 10% of their cattle, their food substances, the things that they grew, the things that they raised, bring 10% of those into the storehouse. And there were storehouses built throughout Israel.
Yes.
And Levites were in charge of those storehouses.
Right.
And so the Levites would use those food substances, both cattle and grain, as a part of the worship of the people in sacrifices and offerings and that sort of thing that the law required. And then the other part would be what they lived on, what they ate on. So it was a requirement as a part of the Mosaic covenant that the Israelites were to bring 10% to feed the Levites and to handle the worship. There were 11 other tribes, so there was a bounty there, wasn't there?
Yes.
But this wasn't something that they could, pray about and say, well, maybe I'll do it this year, but not next. It was an obligation, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was something mandated for them to do in the law. And it wasn't just one tithe, one 10% thing that they had to bring in annually. There was another one, and then there was one that they had to do every third year.
Yeah, special.
So there were three different tithes that were mandated by God for the people of Israel to do. And they were to learn some lessons for that. That was part of their tutoring as babes, so to speak. That's what the law does. It tutors us. It was to give them some life lessons. They were to learn that everything that they had belonged to God. But then a man named Jesus came along, and he became a high priest, not out of the order of Levi or Aaron, but he was out of the tribe of Judah.
Yes.
And so the priesthood changed. And when there's a change of the priesthood, there's a change of the law. The writer of Hebrews talks about that. So now we're under a new covenant. We're not a part of the old covenant.
Correct.
Now, Gentiles were never a part of that old covenant to begin with. Mm-hmm. We were just under that universal law of sin and death. The soul that sins will surely die. That came into being in the garden, didn't it?
Yes.
So every person born into the law, into the world is attached to that law, is born under the law of sin and death. The Mosaic covenant was something God used specifically for the people of Israel, and then spiritually he uses it to show us our condition as a diagnostic tool so that we can turn from our spiritual death and receive life in Christ. And that happens. When that happens, we go from death to life, and now we're a part of this new covenant, this covenant of grace. And so as far as our giving is concerned, we give based on the grace of God. Paul calls it the grace of giving in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and he encourages us all to excel in the grace of giving. Now, here's the reason. In this new covenant, we're fully alive in Christ. Christ is fully alive in us. So Christ is in us. So God so loved that he gave. God's a giver. Guess who's living in us? God. Guess what he's going to start working inside of us? That desire to give, that want to give. And that's what we see in 2 Corinthians 8, these Macedonian Christians that Paul references, uses to tell this story. He says, they were begging me. I mean, they were knocking on my door. They were pleading with me. How can we help? How can we be a part of what you're going to be doing for the for our brothers and sisters down in Jerusalem?
Yes.
I mean, they pleaded. Paul didn't even have to ask. Paul didn't even have to pass a bucket. Paul didn't even have to give a dig deep sermon or try to guilt them into this.
Yeah.
Why? Because the grace of God was doing its work inside of them and making them eager to participate. How did it happen? Christ in them, their hope of glory. Christ is a giver. Christ working that attitude to give, that desire, that eagerness to give inside of them. And so when they gave, they had a big smile on their face. They took joy in the fact that they could participate in what God was going to be doing. And they wanted to find out more ways in which they can help. That's called the grace of giving. That's what Paul encourages us to excel in. And you don't have to try to make yourself do that. Just fall in love with the giver that's alive, living in you. You'll see this grace of giving starting to take root and starting to move you to want to give of your resources in abundance, generously, joyfully, willfully, with that smile on your face.
Yes, indeed. Andrew, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. And friends, don't forget that you can call anytime, 24 hours a day, 844-322-2742. Record your question. We'll be glad to address it soon on Basic Gospel. Guys, a heads up, Romans 11, 19 through 24. We're going to go to that next, but I wanted you to know where we're going. But before we go there, tonight, friends, at midnight, ends the chance to claim your copy of Bob Christopher's excellent book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. It's our offer this month to everyone who has stepped up to help Basic Gospel keep the good news coming. And a copy can be yours with your gift to Basic Gospel tonight by midnight. Simple Gospel, Simply Grace will show you the way to enter into God's grace in a deeper way than ever before. All you need to do is go to basicgospel.net, click donate, and request your copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Okay, now to Jeremy's question. He sent it through Facebook. He says, I believe in what you teach. Could you please explain Romans 11, 19 through 24?
Well, this is one of those difficult passages in the Word of God. It's a stumbling block for so many people. Because it's within the context of what theologians would describe as predestination, God's sovereign choices. Now, the reason it becomes a stumbling block to us is because we're reading about sovereign choices as if God is going about the world choosing this individual and not choosing that individual. Mm-hmm. So we're making it a very individualistic doctrine. But the context isn't about individuals, is it?
No.
It is about people groups. So this whole section, starting in Romans 9, is about Jews and Gentiles, how God has dealt with both of those people groups, and his plan to save both Jew and Gentile in exactly the same way.
Yes.
So Jesus was a Jew. He was born to a Jewish family. He was raised in Nazareth. He was raised up under rabbinical teaching. He knew the Torah. He knew the law. He also knew his purpose as the Son of God. But he was Jewish. And time again in the Gospels, we see things, statements that Jesus made about him coming to his own. And who was he referring to? The Jews.
Yes.
One of the great passages in John chapter 1. He came to his own, but his own refused him. Yes. But those who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God.
Yes.
So he came for the Jews. He wanted to present himself first to the Jew, so that they could receive him as their Messiah and receive new life through faith in his name.
In fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies. That's
exactly right, according to the Scriptures.
Yes.
So his life was always according to the Scriptures. But Israel rejected. There was a remnant. There was a handful that received Jesus. But in that rejection, in that hardening of their hearts toward Jesus, there became an opening for this gospel to go out to the Gentile world. Now, that didn't make the Jews very happy back in the day. How could God save those Gentiles at all? Why would he even consider that? Well, if you read the Scriptures, you will realize that God always had the Gentiles in mind, didn't
yes.
he? One of your favorite books is Hosea.
Yes.
And that's really the whole message there, isn't it? That God has another people group that he's going after called the Gentiles. Well, Paul is pulling all of those threads that have been running through the Old Testament, and he's tying them together in this great section of the Word of God. And so when he gets down to verse 19 in chapter 11, he says, you will say then, branches were broken off so that I could be grafted in. Who is he talking about? Gentiles.
Yes.
You Gentiles are going to say that branches were broken off so that Gentiles could be grafted in. Granted, but they were broken off because of unbelief, and you stand in faith. They were broken off because of their rejection. Who? The Jews, Israel. So do not be arrogant, but tremble, for if God did not spare the natural branches, the Jewish branches, he will not spare you either. So don't be haughty and prideful, thinking that God likes you more than he likes another group. That's not true. God has shown time and time again that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved, whether Jew or Gentile. And that's what he's saying in this particular passage. So he's not talking about you as individuals. Once you're a part of the vine of Christ, you can never be cut off. That's the good news.
That is good news. Many of you give faithfully every month to help ensure that this message of God's love and grace and life in Jesus Christ remains available. It is you who help keep the good news going out, both on the air and online, and through midnight tonight. Of course, we're making Bob Christopher's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, available to all of you who can step forward with a donation to Basic Gospel. Just click Donate at BasicGospel.net to make your donation and request your copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Make sure to do that by midnight, however, because that's when it ends. Again, donate at BasicGospel.net. Well, thanks for being with us today for Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll be back tomorrow. I hope you will, too. Bye-bye.